you have a Bible with you, turn to Romans chapter 8, Ephesians next week. But here in Romans, I know that there's some of you out there who are completely shocked that I went to Romans 8 for our sermon today. But I think it's appropriate, and I hope that you will see so too. Romans chapter 8, starting, let's see, where was it? Where did I start? I gotta find it. Someone could give me a clue. 22, thank you. There it is. See? Didn't ever do now. All right. Starting at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today again for the mighty work of your power in raising Jesus from the dead. And Lord, I pray that now as we take a few moments to think about that, what happened that day, what resurrection means for us today, right now. Encourage our hearts. Help us to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I told Sherry and the kids and a few others that this sermon today, Easter Sunday, it's a big deal. It's Easter, right? But we had a wonderful service, by the way, James, thank you, Friday night. And for those of you who were here, I hope that was a special time. It was for me. I left that evening feeling that burden of despair that the disciples must have felt. And you're left there. And that's kind of what Good Friday is about. You think about our advantage we have to look back. The disciples did not have that. They were stuck in Good Friday. Everything that they had come to desire and believe in was crumbling. And the Bible doesn't give us any indication that they had any hope at all. They thought it was done. That's why they call that Saturday after Good Friday, Silent Saturday. I imagine disciples just hunkering down, maybe together and just looking at each other, what do you say? He's dead. And so Friday, we exited quietly. And I thought maybe there'd be some chit-chat outside. There was a little bit, but for the most part, we all just went home. And I thought then, I've never wanted to preach a sermon more than I do right now. Amen. Because we are not stuck in Good Friday. Good Friday highlights the suffering of Jesus and the despair of the disciples, and that is a reality. We understand that even now. The Romans 8 tells us that. The whole creation is groaning. That's Good Friday. That's the loss we feel. We look around and we see the injustices of the world, the suffering of the world. And Christians, we're not exempt. We see it in cancers and accidents and children dying and wars. And we want hope. Yes. We want hope. People want hope. Interestingly, as I was pondering these things this week, on Friday, NPR running a series of programs about hope. That's what they're talking about. And they interviewed the two who were put together the program, and I didn't hear the program itself, but they interviewed people all over about hope. And people's desire for hope, and where they seek hope, and where they find hope. And generally speaking, as human beings, we want hope, and more or less, it may not always be true, but people tend to be hopeful. Hopeful in the sense of optimistic. Generally speaking, people speak of hope, they're talking of optimism. Of just that, you know what, things could be better. They could see it being better. Maybe stinky now. But we want better. I think there can be better. And I've talked about this before here. You know, we use that kind of a hope. You know, right now, I have hope. You know, my Minnesota Twins are in first place in the Central. There's hope there. But I don't know. You're thinking, oh yeah, Steve, you know. Come on. Come on, they're not going to make it, right? But I can hope, because right now, they're in first. Or we can hope that the stock market's going to go up and not down. Or we can hope that that special person that we hope will complete and fill our lives is out there. We can hope that the argument I had with a neighbor will settle out and we can reconcile. And that's good. Generally speaking, I much prefer to hang around with those kind of hopeful people, optimistic folk. But that is not Christian hope. We are not left to just be optimistic about the end of our lives. The hope that God gives us is a rock solid assuredness. And that is what the resurrection is all about. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll refer to that several times because Paul talks a lot about resurrection in that chapter. But I'll give you this little bit. 1 Corinthians 15:19. So Paul's talking about the resurrection of the dead. And he said, well, in verse 16, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be most pitied." If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why are we here? What is the point? It's a social club. We can do some good deeds together, hang out, encourage each other. It's all good things. But at the end of the day, it's the resurrection that makes the difference. And this passage in Romans 8 addresses this. So what I want to do today is to see if we can see the real effect and meaning of Jesus' resurrection for us now, today. I want to look at it theologically, what its significance for our faith, for our salvation, and ethically, how it affects us in our day-to-day life as it interacts with people and with each other. And I think we will see that we have, indeed, a great hope. Romans 8, the passage I started off with, groaning. We are groaning. That is the reality of life on earth. Yeah, we have moments where we feel good and better and optimistic, if we want to say. But the truth of this life is that we're born into a path that leads to death. Every one of us. Every single one of us. We're going to die. This body is going to die. And in between those two events of birth and death are ups and a lot of downs. A lot of them. There's a wrongness to it. I think it is. I think it's the very nature of God imprinted on us to say that there's things in this world that are wrong. It's wrong when a child dies before the parent does. When a cancer ravages a body, we just go, oh, well, you know, that's how it is. But part of the inside is, no, that's wrong. There's something not right there. And that's the groaning that we experience day to day. But there's hope. There is hope. Look what it says. We groan as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now we know what adoption is. And that's a great promise from God. To think that we are adopted by God. A relationship that is so close and unbreakable. Unbreakable. If I adopt somebody, a son or a daughter, they are my son and my daughter. Legally, in every way. And it does not change. And so we have that great promise from him. But then he says this. We wait eagerly for adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. What is that? Redemption of our bodies. Resurrection. Amen. Resurrection. That is our hope. The hope that we are saved into. It says that by this hope we are saved. We're not saved by resurrection. But in our salvation, we have the hope of resurrection. That is the end that we are saved into. Us, to be resurrected And it is so important. And we need to live in that knowledge and understanding of what that resurrection is for us. And he tells us, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So we are saved with hope. Hope then is our ever-present companion in our salvation. Amen. Christians of all people in this world live in hope always. That no matter what this world throws at us, the injustices, the problems, the wars, the famines, the diseases, the brokenness, we live in hope. Not because of what we see, not because of what is around me, but in this hope of resurrection. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we too are in that with him. Hope flows out of our adoption, our legal guarantee. Hope flows out of our redemption of the bodies, of our resurrection. The hope that sustains us in our groaning is the promise of resurrection. And our hope of resurrection is directly connected to the power of God in raising Jesus from the dead. Amen. The resurrection is very significant to us today. One significance is that Christ's resurrection ensures our regeneration, our new life in him. It is because of the resurrection that we can be born again. Your Bible, look to 1 Peter 1:3. Oops. 1 Peter, there it is. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So there is the connection. There is the significance of resurrection, of Jesus' resurrection to our regeneration, our new life in Christ. There is a already not yet aspect to it. We know that when we believe, when God has caused us to be born again, as it said here, my body's the same. Things are largely the same in some ways. But we have the hope of that resurrection. Our bodies are still dying, but our spirit is made alive. That is the life. That is the power of the resurrection that we experience right now. The other part we'll experience later. Yes, indeed. But right now, today, we can experience new life. We can experience resurrection in new life in Christ now. We've seen that several times in these last few weeks in the book of Ephesians. If you look back at, Ephesians chapter 2 and at verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up. And raised us up with him. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That reality, that spiritual reality, that realness that is more real than this. When you come to Christ, you are raised with him. Amen. That is the now. The already that we can experience because of the hope of resurrection. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 18. This is awesome. This is Paul's prayer. In fact, if you go back a little bit there, he says he's prayed verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Do you see the connection there? Do you see that Jesus' resurrection is directly tied to our salvation, our new life? And so the resurrection is very important for us today. Without it, there is no new life. Without it, we are indeed hopeless. But it is a great hope that we have. A second significance of Christ's resurrection for us is Christ's resurrection ensures our, here's the big word, ready? Justification. Justification, right? That legal stamp saying not guilty. That is our hope. And we can live in that because of the resurrection. Now, there's actually only one place that makes a direct connection like that, and that's Paul in Romans. If you look in Romans chapter 4, he makes his argument for that claim. And he says this, starting in verse 23. So he's talking about Abraham here. Okay, he's talking about the faith of Abraham and that connection with Christ. And in verse 23, he says this. But the words, it was counted to him, he's talking about Abraham, that his faith was counted as righteousness. It was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Do you see that faith, that belief, that power of God in raising Jesus from the dead is the power of God to make us new and to justify us today, that we can live in that justification. You hear me say it over and over again, and I'll say it again. The only sin that we can ever overcome is a forgiven sin. That is the reality we live in. That is the hope we live in. I would be in great despair if that was not the case. I fail all the time. Little things sometimes. A flash of anger. Inappropriate thought. Just there for a bit. But I know it's, oh God, please forgive me. But we are justified. Yeah. We are justified. It's done. Your sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. And it's because of the resurrection. And that belief and that acceptance of Him. That belief that yes, Jesus did this for me and is alive. Shows us that we are indeed and can be justified. Resurrection was really God's stamp of approval. He said, there's no more penalty left to pay, no more wrath to be taken upon. It's done. And so, since it's paid for, let's raise him from the dead. Yeah. And we can live in that. God raised us up with him in a very real way when we believe. And our hearts are changed. We are resurrected and are justified. God's approval of Jesus is our approval. Of God's approval of us. That God sees us, He sees that work of Christ. That is the power of resurrection and justification. A third significance of resurrection for us. Christ's resurrection ensures that we too will receive perfect bodies. That is the hope we have. That we will, in that reality of our justification, in the reality of spiritual raising from the dead that we experience here and now, there is the not yet, that we will be raised like Him and have a body like His. And I don't know about you, but when I get home on a Friday night, it's a long week, it's been nasty weather, the shoulders are aching, the knees aren't feeling so good. My back, I'm tired. A new body would be nice. I would not mind that at all. If I can trade this one in and get the newer model, I will do it in a heartbeat. And that is indeed the hope we have. Amen. Our hope is to have a new body. You know, sometimes people think of heaven as winged creatures flying around, sitting on clouds. No, it is going to be more real, more solid, more intense than anything we can even imagine. We're going to need a new body to experience what God has for us in the new age. I don't think this body can handle it. I don't. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oops, Romans. Corinthians, there we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there it is. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Very simple. And God raised the Lord and will also raise up us up by His power. Paul is talking in the context of sexual immorality. Of it's important. Our bodies are important. It's so important that he's going to raise us from the dead. And it's very simple. We will have a new body. And then just turn forward to 1 Corinthians 15. If you ever want to just look into resurrection, Paul goes into it here. Deeply. Deeply, deeply. But, starting at verse 20. But in fact, now he just said, if Christ was not raised, we are pitiful. Okay? But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruit. He's using the agricultural metaphor that Jesus is that first bit of harvest, implying that there's more. There's more. Us. That's us. We are going to be raised as Jesus was raised. That blows my mind. It really does. It's a great hope. And so the significance of God's raising Jesus is that we too will share in that kind of resurrection. But there is that aspect of hope, as Paul said in Romans, who hopes for what he sees? But hope what we do not see, we wait for it. There is the waiting aspect of hope, and I'm not very good at that. It was funny, Friday night, experiencing that, sitting here, and we'd have this time of meditation, right? Just to sit and ponder. And like I said, 40 seconds into it, I'm like ready to go. I don't sit well. But hope waits. It can be frustrating, but that is what allows us to wait. It allows us to wait. And again, because this kind of hope is not the optimistic maybe kind of hope, but the rock solid work of Christ. As sure as Jesus was risen from the dead, we have that same assurance. And so we can wait. We can wait. Now I see three real practical implications out of that truth of waiting. First, because of that solidness of the resurrection that we can experience, it encourages us to be steadfast and continue the work that God has for us here. Because of the resurrection, we can press on. Because of the resurrection, we can work for God's kingdom and keep going, and to understand the priority and the awesome responsibility we've been given in God's kingdom. Knowing that the resurrection is ahead, knowing that it is going to happen for those who believe, we can press on and work. As Paul has said, I worked harder than any of them. Because of the resurrection, we can steadfastly work for his ends. In that chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, at the end, after he's talked all about this stuff of resurrection and its significance, he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Okay, the therefore, that is resurrection. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It can be frustrating. As a church, it may be frustrating to labor and be faithful and come every Sunday and give our offerings and these things and not seeing fruit, you know, not seeing growth or any of those kinds of things. Know that the labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Because of the great hope that we have, and it's not about me, it's about him, we can press on, and we will press on. Amen. Secondly, the hope of the resurrection in our waiting encourages us to seek and to focus on our heavenly reward, to be spiritually minded people. The struggles here will be repaid. The labor that we put is not in vain. In fact, we will be rewarded. And, you know, we sometimes feel uncomfortable talking that way, but it's promised. When he says that, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant, we will be rewarded with your body, with God forever. If you look in Colossians chapter 3, oops. Paul says it very, very plainly. Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, okay, if that's true, if God has called you, and you've experienced a new birth, if you have in that real way been raised with him, if resurrection is the reality of your life, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? We have a great hope. and encourage us to keep our focus, to understand that this world is not our home. We are passing through, and it's like a breath.
That's right.
It goes so quickly, and you all know that.
How old
are you? Yeah, I'm 53. How did that happen? Are you kidding me? I feel like I just started. God willing, if I have another 20 years, I want to work. I want to seek Him. I want to press on to the end. Set your mind on those things. So the hope of the resurrection encourages us in this to press on and remember the things that are really important. And lastly, the hope of resurrection and waiting encourages us to fight sin. The most frustrating aspect in my mind of that already not yet aspect of being justified and the work of sanctification, of the process of becoming more and more Christ-like, is this fight with sin. I wish it was gone. But the hope of resurrection encourages us to fight, to keep going. Look back at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So there's the argument Paul says, because you are raised, because Jesus raised, He's dead to sin, you too. And again, we think, oh, but it's hard sometimes, I struggle sometimes. Yes, indeed you do. But God's saying, live in the reality of resurrection. Live there. And if you fall, get back up, because this is what's true. And when you struggle, fight it. Dig your heels in. Call your neighbor. Call someone, whatever it takes. Throw the TV out the window. Whatever it is, I don't care. Fight it because of the hope of resurrection. We can live in that place. We can be there. You know, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that if Christ wasn't raised, then we are pitiful. That hope of verse 20 there is very pertinent. That we live in this hope of resurrection. We are not stuck in Good Friday. We have hope, real hope, solid hope. And the world needs it. The world craves it. The hope of resurrection. The big question then is, how do we experience that? How can I tap in to that reality? How can I wake up in the morning and my life in shambles even and have hope? In Acts chapter 16 is a great little picture. Paul's in jail and he gets broke out. And the jailer, it wasn't Paul, it was Peter, he says, what shall I do to be saved? He was so moved by the power of God. And he told him, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Simple. And it really is. It is that simple. To acknowledge that I need hope. To understand that in myself, in my selfishness, I don't normally seek things of God. I'm not setting my mind on things above. In fact, most of the time I'm setting my mind on things that are opposite. Understanding in myself, I am lost. And acknowledging Jesus. That what He did on Good Friday, and God putting His stamp of approval on that act, and then raising from the dead, is yours. It is yours. If you believe. Believe in Jesus. Accept Him. And get on the path of resurrection living. I like that. I want to live in the resurrection, not in Good Friday. We do not have to live in Good Friday. And we all need this. We need this gospel every day. If you believe for 5 minutes or 50 years, this good news of resurrection is pertinent for us every single day. Let us live in that. Let us live in that today. As our people come forward, we'll sing one final song. And I will say, as I sometimes do, if there's any doubt in your mind of where you stand, you may wonder, maybe you made a commitment at one time and now you're not so sure, or this radicalness of resurrection life, if it is not experienced, I encourage you to do so today. If you have any questions, ask me. We can talk about it. I'll be at the back here at the end. And again, encourage us to live in the resurrection power of God today. Let's sing this last song, and we'll do all three verses. Okay.